The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
KNUS Denver,
a Salem Media Group station.
This is Wake Up with Randy Corporan on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Back, final hour of the show. Hard to believe it's 11:02 on a good-looking Saturday morning. Always a pleasure to be with you and to have you along. Phone number here is 303-696-1971. 303-696-1971. We've got Jim Paff standing by, but I did promise, since he's been holding, that we'd squeeze in Jim and Inglewood's call real quick before we go to our next guest. So, Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, Randy. I just wanted to say, you know, you asked Corey a really good question as far as why, you know, he can't have a rally in Boulder or in Denver and have them sign something where people would just be removed if they – because really that's where we need to go. I mean, when you look at Colorado last year, I kind of looked at the whole map of Colorado. It's all red except for two counties, Denver and Boulder.
Yeah.
So I really think it would be – I think it's – I don't know why he didn't follow up with him, because he never answered the question. He kind of started. I'm liking Cory Gardner a lot more. I mean, I would always vote for him. I think he's a, you know, I've never been one of these guys, oh, I'm not going to vote for Cory. But when he starts that politician stuff, like, well, we're going to just answer the question directly, and I wish you had really followed up with him, because why don't they go to Denver?
Yeah.
Why don't they go to Boulder?
No,
I don't get it.
I hear you, Jim. You got to go. You know, Donald Trump is coming to Colorado. Donald Trump went to New Hampshire, went to New Jersey, of all places.
He's gone to Illinois.
Yes.
He's gone to Chicago.
And I got an
email. He's not afraid to go in.
An email from Karen who said the same thing. And there is a polish to Corey. And I tell you, I've known Corey for a number of years now. And I guess I've never seen him without that smile on his face. He always seems to really be that happy. That may be genuine Corey, but, you know, I'll be talking with his campaign folks. I do that regularly. And who knows? Maybe they'll do it, because I think you're right. You make people agree that they can have their ass tossed out if they misbehave while they're in there. And then you go ahead and field the heat, and you have the security there. I know it costs money, but you have the security there to remove them if that's what you have to do.
Because I know in the past he's done like those telephone town halls, and I'm not for those either. I think you got to be willing to go in and present your ideas and sell your ideas. And sometimes I actually get the feeling that Republicans are afraid. They're afraid to go into Denver. I don't know what they think's going to happen.
I don't think they
got to get over it.
Yeah, Jim, I do need to get to my guest, but I don't think it's fear. I think that's happened so many times now, where it just turns into an out of control left wing protest, and so nothing ever gets.
I think you've got a great answer for that.
Yeah. Okay. So, I'm going to pass that along from you and Karen both. That'll be the takeaway from the show today, and I will make sure that his campaign hears about it.
Thanks, Randy.
Thank you for waiting, Jim. Very, very important. Let's go to another Jim, my old friend Jim Paff, who laid the groundwork for the morning show I used to do at another radio station, and did fill-in work for me when I was covering that show, and has been in and out of Colorado politics for a long, long time. He is now the chief of staff for the House Minority Caucus in the Colorado State House of Representatives, working closely with Pat Neville and others. He joins us now. Jim, thanks for waiting. I thought that was an important point from the other Jim. What's your comment on that?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked me, because I wanted to say something anyway. You know, I've known Corey since 2005, lot of years, and you talk about that smile on his face. That is real Corey Gardner. I have to tell you, when I go to events, and he knows that when I was in D.C., I worked for some of the most conservative members of Congress, and Corey really does kind of fit more of that moderate brand in his voting record. But, you know, and some of my guys were pretty hard fighters, and when I go to events around this state and Corey's there, he's always up to me first before I get to him, and he deserves a lot of credit for that. He's good that way. But I'll tell you this, I want to see Donald Trump go to Colorado Springs like he is, and Pueblo and Grand Junction and Larimer County, and get kind of tell the Denver Boulder crowd, you know, kind of screw you. But I wouldn't mind him going straight into downtown Denver. The problem with that is that look what happened in Chicago just a couple of years ago, and it was a freaking nightmare. And it's not because of his lack, his fear of getting into a difficult spot. It's just what's going to work. And the Denver folks, they're going to be coming down to Colorado Springs big time. You know that. And they'll go up to Larimer County, and they'll go down to Pueblo even. So he just needs to be here. He needs to tell his message to Coloradans who are anxious to hear from him, and I'm really excited he's coming.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, and I don't know what you're talking about specifically, and listeners may not either, that happened in Chicago when somebody tried to have a town hall there.
Well, it was Trump had a campaign rally in Chicago, and it really was a nightmare and a logistical nightmare outside. It was during his initial 2016 campaign.
Oh, I remember now. Yes, yeah. And there was violence outside the doors and everything else. And
oh yeah, it was really bad. And I don't know that precise problem would happen in Denver, but it might. And he just needs to get into the state. People from the Denver metro area are going to go see him. They want to. They're anxious to.
Yeah, I do believe for Corey that there are voters in Boulder and Denver who he could get if he showed up down there. And because, you know, with an electoral college, it's different. You know, you can kind of pick and choose the places where you know you need to have the votes and avoid the places where you're not going to have a majority. But when it's winner take all, as it is in a statewide election, you've got to pick every one of those individual votes up that you can. So maybe we can help come up with a structure where it could be safe and productive to have a town hall in one of those places. I'll be talking to his campaign about it.
I think he could.
Yeah, maybe you will too.
Yeah, he definitely could.
So
anyway, on to our topic.
Yeah, you obviously have your thumb on the pulse of what's going on in the Colorado legislature. Deborah Flora in her show this morning, before this one, was talking quite a bit about the abortion bill, babies born alive bill. We'll talk a little bit about that. I ran into somebody earlier this week who said that law enforcement is very, very concerned about some proposed bills in the Colorado State Legislature as well. So maybe we could start with those two areas, whatever you think the priority is to talk about today.
Well, one thing I'd bring up first, I've got about four different bills that I was thinking we could highlight. I can talk about any you'd like. But one of the first ones to consider is there is a bill to unionize state employees. And I think I last week briefly referred to it, but it's worth giving some detail now. This bill would allow a 30% vote to have a vote to unionize the various agencies. It would set up a structure for setting up contracts with between the union that is successful in organizing in the state agency. But here's the kicker. Those union contracts, if this bill passes as it sits right now, would not be discoverable through the Colorado Open Records Act, or what we call CORA. And that means that state government is going to be making these deals, and we, the people of the state, will not be able to know what those deals look like. And it is a really bad situation. I spent most of 8 years in D.C. as a chief of staff, and one of the things you learn in the D.C. area is that the various federal agencies literally have union organizers on the federal payroll organizing employees all day long. They don't do any agency work, but they have a desk in the agency, they're paid by the agency, and they do that kind of organization there. Now, yet to be seen how that might play out in Colorado, but that's the type of thing that could be happening, and we would never be able to know about it.
And what bill number is that?
That is bill number 1153. And for those who don't know how bill numbers are structured in the state, if you do HB for House bill, the Dash 1153. Just search that way. You'll find it very easily on the web.
And is anything coming up this week where people could show up, make a difference? You want them to contact legislators? What's the way to help?
Well, I think the best thing to do is to go to the Colorado House Republicans Facebook page. We let people know when these things are coming up. Just this last week, we had a last-minute hearing on a second bill to talk about, House Bill 1008. This is a bill that would effectively take health care sharing ministries like MediShare and Good Samaritan or Samaritan's Purse and some others that actually have people. It's an alternative to insurance, to health insurance, that'll in a Christian ministry format, typically, that just allows people to help one another out rather than having to go through the regular insurance. They had a provision in this that would deny the ability of these organizations to have their people sign up during open enrollment periods and other provisions that would cause a big problem here. Something that was a carve-out in Obamacare, or else these organizations wouldn't exist today, because of the religious nature of what they do, and it would be a massive problem for thousands of Coloradans who get their health care this way.
Well, and the bill you just mentioned, HB 20-1008, the Healthcare Cost Sharing Consumer Protection Act, was heard earlier this week, and because there was such massive pushback, such massive opposition, that bill got laid over. So how did people get involved? What caused that level of resistance, and how can people help you on future bills as they pop up?
Well, so they need to get involved with organizations that are putting information out on this. You know, the Americans for Prosperity, Colorado Family Action. We announce things on our Colorado House Republicans website. In particular, with this bill, now that it's laid over, and the bill sponsor, Susan Lontine, says she's going, said publicly that they're going to amend this to fix a few things, but you can't let up. I guarantee you there are people listening to us right now who have MediShare or one of these other companies, and they need to contact MediShare or whomever they get this insurance through and find out how to come up. We are going to make people aware when this hearing is happening. The next time it does, they got to get out. There were hundreds of people who came out for this bill, and it absolutely made a big difference.
You bet it does. And really, when you're in the minority in both houses, and you know that there's a governor that's going to sign any Democrat bill that gets through, part of the strategy is to have people pouring in there and force testimony, force the reading of bills. Ask good questions, have experts or others who come down and testify, because it slows down the process and it forces the Democrats to reprioritize all of the hell that they're going to try and put the state through as they get through this legislative session. And so, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, and in fact, this particular group of Democrats, by and large, they've got an agenda they want to push forward. They're not interested in hearing. Certainly we need to, on our side of it, have rational, reasonable testimony to talk to the merits of the bill. But the one thing that moves any politician is mass grassroots outreach. And we need people to come to these hearings and make sure that they make their voice heard. If they come in the hundreds, it makes a big difference. That's the biggest way. I mean, it's kind of a blunt force tool, but right now, that's really about the best thing we have, because, I mean, they know they've got to win elections too, and they know that when masses of grassroots people come out and protest this horrible legislation, that they are going to be accountable at the ballot box the next time around. Need to make them aware of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And for people who are on Facebook, the website is Colorado House Republicans. Another great place for action items is the Colorado Freedom Force. You can follow Colorado House Republicans at CO House GOP, CO House GOP on Twitter, and then you mentioned the website for folks who aren't doing social media. What's the website address for the Colorado House Republicans?
I believe it's ColoradoHouseRepublicans.com.
That's very, very confusing to me, Jim.
It is.
Yeah.
Totally confusing.
We're talking with Jim Pfaff.
Hey,
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to reset. Jim Pfaff is the chief of staff for the Colorado House Minority, the caucus, and we're going to try and make this a regular event here on Saturdays to spend a few minutes driving people to websites, into action down at the State House, et cetera. I mentioned Deb Flores spent a lot of time talking about this Born Alive bill down in the State House. What's happening with that? What's the next step there, if you know?
Well, it's basically committee hearing. I mean, to be candid, I'm not sure if we're going to be able to get this out of committee, but it's a really important bill that can allow us to see Colorado. A lot of people are not aware that Colorado was the first state in the union to allow abortion all the way up to the moment of pregnancy back in the 1960s. We've maintained that legal status ever since, and this would be a great first step to try and kind of reduce the number of abortions that are taking place in this state. Because of our liberal, and what I mean by liberal, I mean open abortion laws, you will have women come in from other states that have greater restrictions to seek an abortion here. We need to stop being the home state of abortion. This would go far down the road, but we need people also to support the ballot measure that I know Christy Burton Brown is helping lead that will be available in November. They need to be aware of that. Also, we need to put it into Colorado law through the voices of the people to pull back abortion with the ultimate goal, to be candid, of eliminating all abortions in this state that are merely elective abortions, and further than that if we can.
You bet. And whippersnapper behind the glass, Adam Walker, pulled up the address for the Colorado House Republicans. It's CO House GOP, COHouseGOP.com. I mentioned the Colorado Freedom Force, a great place for action items. They're talking about the Kill Committee hearing on Thursday, February 13th, for the Parental Rights Bill. And being heard in the state Veterans and Military Affairs gives the time, the address, all of those things. You know, we can talk about the bills that are bad or good or, the philosophies behind them, why we oppose them. But one of the things I want to try and do with you over the next few weeks during this session when we have you on is have actual action items for people, where to go, when to be there, who to call, that sort of thing. And Colorado Freedom Force, Jan Cook, Joy Overbeck, some of the great activists here in town are really helping people stay directed who have time to go and participate in these very important activities.
It's important to go there, and they do a good job of making people aware.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say also Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado as well has good information on the bills and how people are voting so that they can track where their legislators stand also.
Well, when we talk next week, let's you and I have a conversation before Saturday, and we'll lay out two or three of the best locations for people who just simply don't know what to do and need some hand-holding, some guidance, some encouragement on where to be and when to be there. And we can make that part of the thing. Now, I mentioned at the start of this segment that I'd run into somebody who has relationships with folks in law enforcement who are very concerned about some anti-cop bills that are coming up in the State House or in the Colorado legislature this session. Do you know anything about those, or is that something maybe we should put together for next Saturday?
We can update that on next Saturday. There's one bill that deals with the setting requirements for exposing any disciplinary hearings and that sort of thing. It could go really bad because, we don't want cops to be, if they go through a normal disciplinary process that leads to acquittal of the charges or concerns that were laid out there. There are those who want to expose these things because it's their belief that policemen are hiding, and police forces are hiding themselves. The Aurora incident with the police officer that was apparently drunk and found in his car unconscious. I know George Brockler was unable to get a charge against that, and it stirs up people's concerns that there's a blue wall, so that hides things. And to be candid, we should be concerned with that, but sometimes we can go too far in exposing the ability of these various police departments to be able to handle a situation appropriately while still maintaining transparency. So there's a bill that might cause problems in that's happening now, but we can talk more about those next week.
All right, two things, and let's keep the answers real short. Someone texted in about a bill introduced for state preemption that needs to fail quickly, and I don't know about that. Do you know anything about that one?
I probably do, but not.
That's all right.
I'm
writing it down on the list for next Saturday. And last, in fact, I think this is a caller that maybe has a good question for you before we let you go. So, Scott in Fort Collins, welcome.
Yeah, hey, this is Scott. Hey, back right about the time Obamacare happened, we were paying like $1,200 a month for health care. Christian Healthcare Ministries is what we're now a part of. We've been paying, $500 a month. You're telling me there's a bill in the state of Colorado. What I need to know is what do I need to do, and I will get people organized up here in Fort Collins to fight this. What do we need to do?
Well, we've had many of the healthcare sharing ministries are tracking this bill, so they know what's going on. You need to contact them to make sure that you're in their information stream. I know that MediShare and some others had let their clients know what was going on, and many of them showed up, which was great to see. The layover of the bill has not yet been rescheduled for hearing. But we will have that on the Colorado House Republicans Facebook page, and Freedom Force and others I know are tracking some of these things. What it would do is, for anyone who might be interested in going into these ministries, these healthcare sharing ministries, they would not be able to sign up during open enrollment period. That's the time when people are trying to make a decision. We're hopeful that there's an amendment to change
simply,
that aspect of it.
Simply incredible.
The other thing is, and there's a real need for people who have problems. The insurance departments around the country, this is a valid concern, sometimes don't know how to direct people if they have a problem with one of these healthcare sharing ministries. There's some disclosure requirements. It went a little too far in the bill. We're hoping that would be amended to reduce some of those requirements as well, too. So just check with your healthcare sharing ministry. They should be tracking it.
They
have been around the Capitol.
So, Scott, check with them. Go to Colorado House Republicans on Facebook or cohousegop.com. Maybe join up with the Colorado Freedom Force on Facebook as well. And sounds like there's some actions that will be laid out that you can get people involved with to take. Really appreciate you waiting to ask that question.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. Jim, we've got to leave it there. I've written down some of these questions from listeners that we can pick up with next Saturday, when hopefully we'll have you back and do the same thing again. Really appreciate your time this morning. Hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks.
Better
good
believe.
Randy, thanks a lot.
Okay, 11:25 now. We got to take a break. Callers on the line. Open lines to the end of the show, so now's your time. Scott's line is open, 303-696-1971. 303-696-1971 as we continue. Wake up with Randy Corporan on 710 KNUS.
Now, back to Wake Up with Randy Corporan on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Running. 30 minutes to go in the show. One line is open at 303-696-1971, 303-696-1971. So very excited about the big rally with President Donald J. Trump Thursday, February 20th in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Free tickets available at donaldjtrump.com/events. the day before, Laura Trump will be here in Aurora. And same thing, free tickets, all good stuff as Donald Trump makes his first push back here into the state of Colorado. Cory Gardner will be standing there with him. Colorado State GOP will be standing there with him. I don't know that I'll be standing there, but I will certainly be sitting there someplace with him and hope to see you down there as well. And with all the guests today, there was a lot of news we didn't get a chance to cover. And so anything at all that's on your mind right now is fair game with full lines. Let's start with John in Denver, who's been waiting, gosh, almost 20 minutes. Sorry about that, John, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Randy. Thank you very much. Real quickly with Romney and Buttigieg, while Romney is still hot on the skillet, we have to appreciate what Romney did. Romney met with Pelosi in September, and Crystal confirmed that he assured her that there would be Republican votes for impeachment at that time in the Senate. In effect, what Romney did was he assured Schumer that he had an argument that if there's a Republican splitting off, i.e. Romney and anybody else he can bring with him, Schumer would be able to keep his people in line. And as a consequence, Romney was a very major factor in preventing the president from winning a bipartisan acquittal with Democrats who dropped and voted for the president. That is a very, very serious consequence of what Romney did. And the Republicans weren't expecting it. GOP senators were all saying that they expected Democrats to vote, and Mitch McConnell said that he was surprised by that vote. Instead of giving the president a clean media victory, Romney waited like McCain to the very end and announced his vote. And that made him, Romney, the story instead of the clean victory that the president was entitled to. So he did three things. He deprived the president of a forever bipartisan acquittal. He kept the door open on this whole subject for the Democrats to continue more of the same. And then on top of everything else, he defended the Bidens in their corruption in the Ukraine. And why he did that, God only knows, and it should be investigated. But essentially, Romney was a tool of the Democrats from September to the very end. He was their last shoe to drop on the impeachment, and the significance of what he did should be appreciated. It shouldn't just disappear. He did something that was really vile and two-faced, and we should appreciate the whole picture, and that's the purpose of my point on this call. The second point I'd like to make is with Buttigieg. Buttigieg is not Mayor Pete. Buttigieg is Deceitful Pete. He is the son of a professor at the University of Notre Dame who is a scholar of the Italian communist Gramsci, whose whole strategy was to undermine civil democracy from the grassroots up, from the ground up, to infiltrate churches, schools, community organizations of all kinds. Deceptive Pete is, he is grounded in an ideology of deception, not persuasion. And so instead of calling him, you know, Mayor Pete, we should brand him with Deceptive Pete. He is the most dangerous and deceptive candidate of all.
Great.
We've got room for one more.
But it's got to be quick, John. I've got full lines. But they're great points. Go ahead.
And Nancy Pelosi, instead of just referring to her as an awful person, the best description of her comes from her own daughter. She will cut your head off and you won't even know that you're bleeding.
That's great.
All right. And that should be repeated every day, that's who she is.
And for Mitt Romney to wrap himself, going back to your first point, to wrap himself in the mantle of religion. I am a deeply religious person, just like I'm severely, he said, I'm profoundly religious, just like he was severely conservative when he was interviewed by Rush Limbaugh. He's a hypocrite, a liar. He's not grounded in anything. Obamacare precursor was Romney Care when he was governor in Massachusetts. He's waffled on abortion. He's an embarrassment. I hope Utah find some way to recall that guy, or at the very least replace him, because we're stuck with him for four more years if they don't. So thank you very much, John.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it. And let's go to Mark in Aurora. We're just taking them in the order that they come. John's line is open, 303-696-1971. Good morning, Mark.
Talked to you a few times before.
Mark, you're fading in and out.
Can you
move? Yeah, try again.
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, served for Reagan twice in his campaign, Western United States here. We've talked a couple times before, and like I said, where the Republicans really missed the mark is when they threw away Pat Buchanan for Bush Jr. But the thing I need us to understand, and why we need a guy like Cory Gardner, okay, which I know for some people, and it cracks me up, because I was conservative in college. I was head of the Republicans, college Republicans at DU in 1978. So to give you an idea how small that circle was.
Yeah.
So I hear people tell me what conservative means. Listen, the only thing that mattered when that vote came down, Lamar Alexander voted not to have witnesses. Susan Collins voted. Those are squishy Republicans. And I can assure you that the Republican Party today, for all these purists, it's so much more conservative now as a whole. Jim Jordan would have never got the floor under Reagan. That was Howard Baker. That was Kemp. Go back and look who all those people were. They were extremely – you think you've got mainstream Republicans now? Those were mainstream.
Absolutely.
And so the only vote that counts is the vote that Cory Gardner makes for the state. And I worked 1 year in the legislature for the head of the Joint Budget Committee and Finance. And when a vote comes down, I need 51 votes to win, and I need 49 votes to lose. And I can assure you 100% of the time, whoever on the Democratic side takes that slot away from Cory Gardner, they're going to vote against Trump. Do people understand that?
Well, I sure think so. We pound that home all the time. And you know, here's the other thing. You talk about Susan Collins. At least with Susan Collins, she's honest. You expected the votes that you got from her. And the people of her state elect her anyway. She stood tall for Brett Kavanaugh. She stood tall when it came time to vote on the impeachment. You get... You know, she is as advertised in the United States Senate. Mitt Romney, I heard Ted Cruz talking about this. Mitt Romney's move on the one article of impeachment caught everybody by surprise. That is not who he has campaigned as when he was running for president. That's not the person he ran as when he ran for that seat in the United States Senate out of Utah. So he is a hypocrite and a liar, and he should be condemned as such.
You primary those people and you remove them. That's where the fight is. If you want, you know, like a lot of people didn't like Kaufman. Okay, look who you got. How do you like that guy?
Yeah,
he was one of the litigators in the House against Trump.
Yeah,
I heard people tell me that we're going to show those liberal Republicans something, and Obama wins, and we got Obamacare. How's that working for you? Or as Toby Keith used to say, how do you like me now?
Mark, have we ever met?
No, I don't know that
you,
we have.
You sound like somebody I'd like to sit down and have a cup of coffee with sometime. I'd appreciate it if you'd send me a text or an email or something. Maybe we can connect, because you've got some history and all the work that you've done in the party and in politics that I would love to pick your brain.
I do know where all the bodies are buried.
Yes, sir. Thanks very much for calling. I appreciate it. Hope you'll call again.
You bet.
All right. Ah, oh, man, 21 minutes to go until 12 o'clock. We've got Father Hugh, Lady Lee from Greeley on the phone. The last caller's line is open, 303-696-1971. Rather than cut anybody short, let's take our final break of the show. We'll have a good 10 minutes on the other side. Get in every single one of your phone calls. Just love the action here on Wake Up with Randy Corcoran. Stay with us at 710 KNUS.
We now return to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Ah, starting to feel the adrenaline slow. Not for long, though. I've got a firearms course, what to teach after the shoot, what to do after the shoot when you get sucked into the legal system at 2 o'clock. So we'll have to pick that up again. Have not gotten to any of the texts coming in. We're going to get to all of the calls that are on the line, so sit tight. But little Jimmy, not our little Jimmy, but little Jimmy, a different guy, sent in a text, a picture, Clinton Romney 2020. Clinton Romney 2020. No kidding. Somebody else, go to the rally for us. We're in Maui until March. Can't believe he's coming to Colorado now. Glad to know that you're listening to the show from Maui. That is pretty darn cool. And so many more texts. I wish I had time for them, but we've got live callers on the line. And before I grab the first call, just one more time, if you weren't with us early in the show, make sure you grab the podcasts today, 710knus.com. No commercials. And great interview, lengthy interview with Corey Gardner. Like him or not, we've got a lot of work to do to make sure that he gets reelected, that Donald Trump does well in the state of Colorado as well. And clearly, the Colorado State GOP, Corey Gardner, and the Trump campaign people are working very closely together. And I expect that to continue right through to Election Day. So that's very, very important. And you really should go to DonaldJTrump.com/events because there's all kinds of things going on. This coming Monday, there is a training, Arapahoe County Trump Victory Leadership Initiative training. Monday at 6:30, you can RSVP to that. Same thing's going on in Pueblo the day of the Trump rally, Thursday the 20th. The day before that, Laura Trump will be right here in Aurora. All of those events you can get access to absolutely free of charge at DonaldJTrump.com/events. And last thing before the calls, I didn't talk at all except for a moment at the beginning of the show about the STEM school shootings and the conviction, the guilty plea of one of the murderers yesterday. And I'm not going to now, but I just want to encourage you, if you weren't there, you want to know what it was like, if you want to get a real flavor for what went on yesterday during those 17 or 18 guilty pleas, please check out the podcast of Stephen Tubbs' first hour yesterday. It was just extraordinary. He puts you right there in the seat. All right, we always do ladies first when we can here. We've got Lady Lee in Greeley. Hugh, sit tight. We will definitely get to you as well. But Lee, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, and thank you. I'll make this short. You said a whole mouthful when you said we've got a lot of work to do.
Oh, man.
And I would really like to see the Republicans start to educate the public. We need more education and less opinions because that's what the Democrats are doing. They are brainwashing all these young people. We've got to educate them. Talk show hosts, that's what Rush does. I listen to Rush regularly because I have learned so much, and you guys can do the same thing. All I ask is you start to educate us, tell us what everything is, and guess what? Repetition is the mother of learning, so say it over and over. That's what they do.
What particular topics would you find appealing on talk radio show to dive deeper into?
I think that you have to go over and over and over what socialism is. They have to understand that it's not just the rich that's going to be taxed. Everybody is. And these people that are so afraid that President Trump is going to kick them out, we have to educate them so they get over their fear. That's what the Democrats do. They get them all hysterical, and they fill them full of fear. And that's why they bring them over to their sides. And those are just two examples. There's many more. But do you understand what I'm saying, Randy?
Well, I really do. And, you know, it's a fascinating aspect of radio for me. When I was on every day, we would, you know, we'd bring on people to educate us about our history, people like Thomas Kranowitter or, you know, Rob Nadelson to talk about Supreme Court cases or Walter E. Williams, the great economist who will be on with Jimmy Sangenberger tonight on Jimmy Sangenberger's show.
Levin just had him on his TV program. He's wonderful. Walter Williams, he's absolutely wonderful, and he's a professor.
Yeah.
Now, get that. Yeah, but what? I guess where I'm going with this is keep it simple because that's what they do. They keep it simple. I'm not suggesting we end a college education here, but explain what socialism is. Explain how they're all going to be hit with it. Explain they don't have to be afraid. Just keep it simple, because that's what the Democrats do. Pay attention to what the Democrats are doing, because they're making inroads. And we have to stand up and say enough, or we will lose our country. And I'm 70 years old, so I'm not fighting so much for me. I'm fighting for this country and all the younger people. But we have to get them in grade school.
Well, I want to leave you with an encouragement and also a perplexing problem that I have. I'm only on 3 hours a week typically. You know, I get to fill in quite a bit around here, people on vacation or sick or whatever. But typically it's 3 hours. And by the end of a week, with 3 hours, I'm so hepped up over everything that's happened, getting people excited about all of the progress under the Trump administration, pointing out to people all of the evil and the misstatements of the left, seems to fill up 3 hours pretty darn quickly. With election season, really hard to set aside time to drill down into particular issues very, very deeply. But to hearten you a little bit, I just want to remind you, we have Colorado Christian University in our own backyard, Hillsdale College, the Turning Point USA group, TPUSA, that's being headed by Charlie Kirk and now Candace Owens, the walkaway people, the I'm a Trumpster movement. All of these people are coming together and getting into college campuses, going into communities and events, and talking about the very things that you're talking about. So I think it's a great point. I want you to be of good cheer and good heart, because I think we're going to have some tremendous success even here in Colorado coming up in 2020.
I'm happy to hear that. I am so happy to hear that. Thank you for sharing with that.
Better,
okay.
Thank you, Randy. Too, Lee. We just love our ladies around here. And we've got our next lady caller, Marcia in Highlands Ranch, in just a second. I guess you couldn't wait. But I've really been struggling about the binder full of women, Whipper. You know, we started the show here with the binder full of deplorable women. We got it off eBay. It was sold, used there by Mitt Romney because he wasn't man enough to handle it. You remember how he was beaten up during the presidential campaign about keeping women in a binder and just all the stupid things that the left do. So we made a theme that we had picked up the binder and we had filled it up. We were filling it with the names of deplorable women who called the show. We got up close to 100 names and then really stopped talking about it. Now with Mitt Romney just being so disgusting and so unreliable as a so-called extreme conservative and fundamentally religious, or whatever the terms I used earlier that he used were, just to see that hypocrisy, I don't know if I want to be associated with the binder full of women or not. Let's ask Marcia in Highlands Ranch. Marcia, are you in the Wake Up with Randy Corcoran binder full of deplorable women?
Yes. I definitely am.
Should I promote it, or should I have the thing burned in a fire on Twitter that everybody can watch, just because of its former association with Mitt Romney?
Oh yeah, Romney is just a turncoat and a traitor, as far as I'm concerned. But what I want to quickly say is that I loved what your previous caller was saying, but I would like to add to the fact that Republicans and conservatives need to somehow do two things. One is educate their party as to the fact that because of, and I'm a substitute teacher with DPSN Englewood, and because of the fact that the kids today are not getting civics, they're not getting American history, and if they're getting any of it in grade school, And they certainly don't in middle school, all they're getting, they're absolutely getting a bias. If you read the textbooks, you will see the bias very clearly. And so somehow the word has to get out that these kids, the reason they don't know about socialism, and that if they do know about it, they think it's just fine, it's because of the teachers and because of the public school system. The private schools are getting the civics and American history, but the public schools aren't. And so those people go on, especially the Hispanics, go on to not, but many, many, many do not graduate. They barely graduate from high school, and so not many of them are in college, but yet they are going to vote, and they are going to vote on the talking points of the Democrats. So if we can't somehow educate not so much the college-minded ones, because, you know, that's a whole nother story, but the ones, because their number is going to outnumber us eventually.
Yeah, you're right, Marcia. And so, we're running out of time here, but I just want to say what a great final call of the day. I hope you'll call in often when we can talk more about that. But it does start at home. I raised my kids. I looked at their textbooks, their homework assignments. I talked to their teachers. I was in their face. I went to the meetings and talked to the principals, the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. Every parent needs to be doing that. Please call us often and remind us so we can remind others. Thank you so very much.
Will do.
All right.
Thank you, Randy. Bye-bye.
Great way to end the show today. And another text, not to be outdone. We're in Kona till March, so we will miss the rally. So we've got listeners today in Kona and in Maui who are going to miss the Trump rally. But so glad that you guys are all listening. And here's maybe the last text I'll have a chance to read today. Randy, hope to provide James Simpson's presentation for members who sign up at ColoradoFreedomForce.com that explains the origins of these cultural issues and socialism we're experiencing today. That presentation from Simpson and Trevor Loudon a week or so ago was fantastic. So we'll talk more about that next Saturday. Make sure you get your tickets to the trainings and to the Donald Trump rally, Laura Trump in Aurora the day before, at donaldjtrump.com/events. Bird Talk is next with Scott and Dave Minow. And Jimmy Sangenberger tonight with the great economist. I've met him, the nicest, most accessible guy in the world, Walter E. Williams. Of course, Backbone Radio tomorrow. Peter Boyle's back in the saddle on Monday. What is better than 710 KNUS? I'm Randy Corcoran. Always remember, please never, ever forget, God loves you. So do I. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
News Talk 710 KNUS.